SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, it's the good, the bad, and the dumb for a Thursday, a throwback Thursday nonetheless, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. All right, what is the good for the day?
The good today, it's not really a good, but I'm using the good in the sense that it's always good for you and I to realize our mistakes.
Oh, very good.
And we made a mistake yesterday.
Did we?
Yes.
Okay.
We neglected to wish a happy birthday to the greatest athlete of our generation.
I noticed that yesterday. I'm glad you brought that up.
Mr. Baseball himself, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow's birthday yesterday, and I could not get away from it. Everybody was reposting his speech from Florida.
And talking about how many miracles he's committed.
All of those great things.
And you know, I'm saying it's good on us, you know, to come out and just admit openly to everyone, we made a mistake. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, people.
Just happens. Sorry, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, I mean, we really slighted him. We owe him something.
Yeah. What can we give Tim Tebow, the man that has everything?
Do you think if we send him a cake, he'll eat it?
He will. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he
would. He's at a point now. He's like, well, I got nothing to lose now. I'm not training for anything other than looking good for my Miss Universe wife.
His upcoming wedding?
Yeah, for his wedding. Got to lose those extra pounds to fit in the tuxedo. But yeah, the baseball career is dead. So
No, it's dead. It's not dead yet.
Come on now.
Until he
I don't know. The Mets lost last night in kind of a bizarre Mets-y way. So maybe when they fall back into obscurity, we still got a shot.
I want to blame Mike Francesa.
Did he curse the Mets or did he bring them up and talk about how great they are?
He's a Met fan.
Yeah.
And he spent some time yesterday on air calculating how many wins it would take.
Oh, good Lord.
But doing it on air. So there were periods where there was dead air.
Of course.
As he was, you know, figuring out how to carry the one.
This is a guy who still says on his show, he gives out the Yankee lineup for the day. And then he says, if you're writing this down, erase that. Actually, DJ LeMay, who's betting third. So you scratch that off your scorecard. I'm like, are people doing that? Are people at home grabbing a pen and paper and writing it down? And you have to tell them, whoops, I'm sorry. That was yesterday's lineup, not today's lineup. So scratch all of that. Erase it with the eraser on the end of your pencil.
Yeah, there's a guy doing that.
Yeah.
He's doing it for that one guy.
Mike Talkman batted sixth yesterday. Why are you telling me he's batting eighth? I can only imagine that guy. Yeah, what was he doing? He was calculating how many wins it would take to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
How does he do that?
Well, they figured what's the record right now? They're like 62 and something.
Yeah, something like that, right.
And there's 44 games left, so he starts off by going, well, let's say if they split the difference. They go 22 and 22.
Oh, no.
And then he was like, well, 88, as it came to like 88 wins or something like that. He's like, no, that's not going to cut it. So then if we do 23, and then if we do 21 on this side.
No, he did not. Really?
And he got to a point where he felt comfortable where the Mets could win, grab one of the final wild card spots, finishing off with like 90 plus wins.
All right, so I figured out they got 90 games left on the road. If they win 8 of those and lose 11, which is very, very possible they could do that, they figure they come home, City Field, maybe play Braves again, win 3 out of 4. They should be able to make a wild card run. If of course, the wild card comes down to about 88 wins, 89 wins, we'll get you in the wild card. I can only imagine how that sounded. Come on, Pope. You can do better than that. But that's his thing. I mean, he doesn't mind. He'll just pause, stop what he's doing. Don't curse the Mets. I'm kind of into him now. Last night I actually watched their game against the Braves. I threw it on last night. I threw it on last night. I don't usually watch the Braves. But last night I was like, I'm gonna watch this game. Steven Matz last night. This is how Metsian they were last night.
It was a great pitcher's duel between Dallas Keuchel and Steven Matz last night. Both teams were throwing some, you know, really good pitches. And Mickey Callaway took Matz out after six innings, giving up just one run off two hits, and took him out of the game. And then the Braves in the seventh inning scored five runs.
Well, that's when you take out Matz.
Right.
That's the smart move.
Right before the drubbing.
Because Callaway knows that if the Mets keep on in this hot streak, there's no chance for Tebow.
That's right. He's keeping.
And that's what we want.
That's right. So the Mets did rally in the top of the ninth inning. They had runners on. They scored two runs, and they had two runners on. And they then proceeded to strike out. They had two strikeouts, and that ended the game. Michael Conforto came on. He was the go-ahead run, and he struck out. Jerry Blevins struck him out. So that was it. That was all she wrote. And they were done. But I actually watched them last night, which is really, really bizarre. It's like I said, I don't usually watch Atlanta baseball, but I might now because they're in first place. So, all right, what is the bad?
The bad of the day is Japan.
Okay.
Japan.
Just Japan? Seems like it's a nice country.
I know. I believe it is. They're a peaceful group now. And, someplace I would want to visit. I would love to see Mount Fuji. But, you and I love AI.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to kill us all. So Why not? Let's embrace it.
Well, maybe this isn't all the way bad because they now have an AI robot delivering sermons.
Sermons in church?
Yeah.
So how do they do that?
There's a robot priest who is delivering sermons in a Zen temple in Japan in an attempt to increase public interest in Buddhist teachings.
I don't follow. I'm not following this. So what, they punch in the topics?
It's artificial intelligence, Tony. They probably put in all the information and then he...
And let it do it himself, right?
Let him develop a sermon based on what he knows.
So the AI, you give the information and the AI can come up with a spiritual sermon to inspire people religiously.
For now. Because we know the inevitable
is. Well, inevitably, they're going to turn against us. They're going to realize
You just gave them the catalyst.
Right. Yeah.
You gave them that smoking gun now to say, why are you destroying the human race? Well, because these people are not following my teachings.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Good point.
We're doomed.
Good point. So now the AI will say, do these things for a better life. People won't do it. And the AI will not be able to compute any sort of sympathetic notion. It'll just go, this entity needs to be eliminated because it's not making the world a better place.
It's not going to accept the idea that you were busy that day.
Right.
That you didn't show up to the Buddhist temple fundraiser.
Right.
It's not going to accept that excuse.
And
that you had to take grandma to the doctors and it coincided at the same time. It can't compute that. It doesn't have sympathy.
And by the way, if you ever show up at a church and there's a robot giving the sermon, you better make sure there's money in the tin when it comes your way. They'll be paying attention to that.
Yeah. How long does it develop, just give itself a laser gun?
That's right. Oh, goodness. Oh, that's scary. This AI stuff. You and I have talked about AI so many times, and we all come to the same conclusion. Nothing they do is good, and it feels like just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Right.
And they keep doing this all the time. They keep going, it would be pretty bad if a robot did this, but let's just do it anyway to see what happens. All the time. Every AI story I see is the same thing. It's like, I don't think that's a good idea, but you know what? Technology is inevitable. Right ahead.
All we need now, we need this sermon, this preaching robot to talk to the ones who develop their own language, and then they'll develop their own religion.
Their own religion, they're doomed. They'll become fanatical, and it's all over. This is how it ends.
And then they join up with the one that's doing backflips off of... crates.
Yep, exactly.
And, finding more, he's going to recruit more martial artists robots, and we don't stand a chance.
Thank you, Elon Musk.
Well, this one I can't blame on Elon, though.
He warned everybody. Everybody. He said, and I'm going to repeat this, and I've repeated this many times. This is called playing the hits, by the way. I'm repeating this. Elon Musk said, His example of why AI will go wrong is simply this, because there's no stop point, right? So you tell AI, he used this example. You tell AI, get rid of spam in my email. The AI starts getting spam in the email, but it doesn't know when to stop. It'll just keep going and going to figure out how to get rid of spam email till it reaches the point that the best way to get rid of spam email is to eliminate the people who are sending it in the first place. It goes through every possible possible way, and when it comes to that conclusion, we're all dead. We're all doomed. Yeah. That was his warning. He said all of it will lead to saying it's okay to eliminate the people that are doing this. Solve global warming or solve traffic jams. Solve these problems. It may do it initially, but it always comes down to get rid of humans.
He truly is the Sarah Connor of our generation.
He is. He's sounding it out. Even if his voice is a little meek and soft, he is screaming this as loud as he possibly can. But nobody's paying attention. So what is the dumb of the day?
Oh, the dumb of the day is our other favorite, maybe our favorite coach, Rick Pitino.
I like Rick Pitino.
Who delivered an interview the other, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before. And, he's still fighting his fight. Still thinks he was unjustly fired.
Yeah, he wasn't.
He delivered this nugget, and I'll let you hear it in his words.
Okay.
I'd be the last person to know about it. I'm responsible, but I'd be the last person to know about it. There's not a coach in the world that would jeopardize their future because bringing strippers in a dorm is not going to help you get a recruit.
You really sure about that? You 100% sure about that?
I've often thought. Obviously, he was, the first part of it was him answering a question of how his assistant was able to manage all this under his nose, and he had no clue that it was going on.
Right.
The last part of it, I'm not sure where that came from.
Yeah, the second part doesn't make any sense. The first part I get. The second part, listen, I believe in plausible deniability. I get that. If you're an assistant coach and you do this, I don't think you would tell Rick Pitino that you're doing this because you would protect the highest end of the food chain. Of course you would.
You'd protect the snakehead.
The idea that Rick Pitino didn't know this was going on, I found that just on his own, just by his own paying attention, I found hard to believe. But, give him the benefit of the doubt. He's wrong on the second part.
Yeah.
He's wrong. He's wrong on the second part.
That'd be very wrong.
He's very wrong.
And that's too
much of an absolute statement. It's not universally true. There might be some that go, man, I can't come to school here. This is so unethical. It's crazy. And then there's some that are like, I could do this every day. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because you're talking to a 17-year-old boy.
Right. Exactly.
And 17-year-old boys have one thing on their mind.
So don't – I wouldn't blanket all the recruits into the category of I'm not going to Louisville because they brought strippers to a party.
Yep. I think I can't more handle likely going, that. That's not for me.
This is how they do things here? This is amazing.
Yeah. In fact, I'm certain that the one recruit would be like the 0.1% of recruits.
Yeah. And listen, this is an age-old recruiting trip violate. I mean, this has gone on a lot of places for a lot of years, right? I mean, look, this kind of, not necessarily the strippers, but there's always been a sexual aspect to recruiting that has come around. A lot of coaches have used that aspect to get recruits.
Advertised in movies. You remember the movie The Program?
Yeah.
One of the iconic scenes is when the new hotshot running back comes to the school. And they have all the cheerleaders out there and cheering his name and, waving their pom-poms and they're in the dress. And he's like, yeah, I can get used to this.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the next time he shows up, he goes, where are the cheerleaders?
Yeah, right.
and the quarterback it was the offensive lineman was like, we got you now.
That's right. We don't need to show off the stuff.
Yeah,
you're already
you'll
in.
You'll never see them again.
Yeah, that's it. That's
they didn't
it.
Care. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a recruit, if you're a 17-year-old boy visiting a big campus and you're by yourself, presumably, because, mom and dad stayed home so you can go and figure out if this is the college experience you want, and you're faced with strippers in a dorm room, sign me up.
All right, that's a good, the bad, the dumb on a Thursday, SB Nation AM.